Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 272. I'm Josiah Satford, the villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? It's good to be back. Last week, I threw a curveball at you guys, and I'm going to explain that briefly. It's going to go into a lot of things. But let's hit it like we normally do, then I'll jump into bullet points and exactly why I did it and how meticulous I really am. All right, lots of stories, but first off, let's start off from episode 271 last week, as episode was actually entitled hashtag time traveler. So the whole story behind that is I like to keep a few episodes banked up, and sometimes I need a filler, and the chaos of scheduling and being able to record in my life, in my world, there's a fine small window, and if I don't have that window or pocket, it kind of can pass me up. So hence an episode like last week, Time Traveler, where I can toss one on the go. Granted, the shortest episode I've dropped in forever, solo-wise, but for it to make sense in a weird way and just to describe everything, which I believe I did for the most part. I haven't listened to it since I recorded it. I did edit it and put it up, and I'm like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just roll with this. Let's wing that one. If you guys liked it, cool. If you guys didn't like it, cool. But there are fillers, and they are fillers for a reason. But because that was not a live show, this leads me into what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 171, so last week's episode, we entitled hashtag, or 271, 100 episodes ago, now 171, we entitled hashtag best of the best 2016. I rarely pull these. I know this is episode 272. It's going to make sense right now. We entitled hashtag episode 171 best of the best 2016 at Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain. Talk about what we dug on this past year, along with NFL talk, football talk, NFL week 16, week 17 predictions. Top 10 TV shows, top 5 movie villains, and comic villains. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, and then roll some what the fuck news. Entrepreneurial woman sells positive pregnancy test on Craigslist to pay for college. I believe we bash her pretty bad. I'm all for making money, having a side gig, but that's just kind of fucked up, I think, more so for the women that were buying those tests. If you guys are curious about it, definitely go back 100 episodes ago, episode 171, along with some sex facts. Here's a list of facts about sex you probably did not know. Then rock out comic talk. And this one was interesting. This was the end of the year podcast, so top Christmas movies, top new movies, top movies we've seen this year, then hit books of the year for 2016, event of the year, most consistent book of the year, best new comic of the year, most underrated book of the year, arc of the year, shitty book of the year, best duo of the year, so artist, writer, cover of the year, and book of the year. Thank you to all of our listener support for 2016. We couldn't have kept going without you. Share the podcast, even though we know we're not your typical comic podcast. So that's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago when I did not record live. Only because it's end of the year, I'm like, this was a reminder to me, like, all right, Josias, you're coming across the end of the year, that final stretch, and you have your list, but it's work to go through these topics and my top 5 or top 3 books of the year, event of the year, a single comic issue of the year. I know what I'm looking at for the most part, but it's still a lot of work for a dude that juggles enough already. Now, here you guys go, keeping you up to date. keeping you guys what's going on now for the most part. Episode 172. Now, this is episode 272. This is what we spoke about 100 episodes ago from today. At Mim the Bean Internet for the villain. Play catch up on end of and beginning of a new year. Then hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, along with NFL talk, football talk, playoff predictions, round one, the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2016 winner. Then finally go into what the fuck news. Woman may be fertilized with wrong sperm. Interesting, that's just funny already. Would-be burglar gets firewood to the face after forcing open ex-girlfriend's door. We entitled this show hashtag test run, by the way. Parents say their Hatchimals are swearing like sailors in their sleep. Old school people, the Hatchimals, those little bird-like creatures that would break out of their... they would hatch. They're hatch animals, you know. Genius six-year-old uses sleeping mom's thumbprint to buy presents on Amazon. So smart kid, little asshole, but smart kid. And 11 qualities every truly happy relationship has in common. So, again, I'm curious about this. If you guys are curious, go back 100 episodes ago to episode 172, hashtag test run. We hit comic talk, comic news, X-Men's Michael Fassbender unsure of his franchise future, new Logan trailer expected in January, Carrie Fisher loss, and Brian Michael Bendis leaving Guardians of the Galaxy in 2017. Then rock some comic reviews, Teen Titans number 3, Venom number 1, and number 2, Transformers Till All Are One number 1, and Extraordinary X-Men number 17. That's what we hit 100 episodes ago, guys. So now you guys are completely caught up. And I'm going to hit my bullet points. This is going to be an interesting show once I get back on the pace of things, which I think I'm there already. Bullet points. First off, I want to talk about episode 271, the time traveler one again. Does it make sense to you guys now? The huge factor being time in my world or in my life and finding those pockets to the point where I have to make time for people and, you know, even doing the second and third shows. Hopefully that broke down enough of the small time I have. And a lot of people say, you're a busy guy, and people bitch about how busy I am. And you know what? Fuck off. I am a busy guy, and I prefer things like that. I don't like to be lazy or complacent. So, I'm a fucking time traveler. That's all you guys need to know. Number 4, Los Angeles Comic Con is this weekend. This is why I wanted to go live. It's 10-11, so October 11th to October 13th, so Friday through Sunday this weekend. Recording today is the 10th, which is why I wanted to give a live show this week. I do have Los Angeles Comic Con press media passes, and I'm going to be there. So next week, I'll be dropping a somewhat of a filler episode again. And it's going to be completely fair to you guys because this one I've kind of been sitting on for a while. But there is a story behind it. So it's a complete filler episode, but it's the interview with the cast of Batman Beyond. So the release date for the digital version comes out next Wednesday, 10/15, and or next Tuesday. And the box set, the full box set for this DVD Blu-ray, comes out 10/29, October 29th. I'm finally going to drop the Batman Beyond interview. I figured, let me sit on that, let me bank it, let me hold on to it. And that way, anyone that's listening to the show, anyone that grew up with Batman Beyond, will hopefully get a glimpse of like, you know what, I missed that show. And hopefully make everyone watch the show in a different way. And that's how meticulous I am. So I was waiting on that. I know it was a long wait, but it's here. It's going to be here next week for you guys. It's going to be a filler episode for the most part. It's my birthday week next week. It's my birthday's next Thursday. I normally record Wednesdays. Having just a week off to not work is the goal. So I do have off Friday from both jobs and the weekend off. So I don't know what I'm going to do, Sonny. If you don't know, I don't know. I'm winging it. But again, this is why I do these filler episodes. Like, I need to buy myself time for whatever I might want to do or enjoy. And even in saying that, I'm still giving you guys content. And it's going to be fresh. So, there you guys go. With that being said, I really need to give a huge shout out and thank you to Alan and Anton from the 2OC podcast, like straight up. I'm going to explain this real quick. So because I was sitting on this episode for so long of the Batman Beyond 20th anniversary of all things interview, Alan had sent me the recording, the audio for that pretty much the day after or that weekend of San Diego Comic Con weekend. Once he got back home. The kicker is, apparently when he sent me the files, for some reason, I did not save that file. And I have access to, you know, our Dropbox. And it's entitled Deep Dives. And I'm like, well, I don't have the file anywhere. So let me deep dive where I might have put it. Knowing Josiah's like, all right, dude, you're smooth, but you're not smooth all the time. I apparently never saved the file. And once I jumped into Dropbox, I'm like, okay, it's one of those things that audio is going to be there if I need it. That was very dumb thinking on my behalf, like completely dumb thinking. At the same time, initially, this was all my fault because I should have saved the file properly. And it's a straight up rookie mistake. There's no excuse for that. It's on me completely. And I didn't want the 2OC boys to, yeah, I didn't want to, like, it would not have been their fault, especially because this happened. And I texted them both, would you guys happen to still have access to the audio? And the chat got really silent, and Anton's like, why? And I'm like, I'm looking for a file, and I don't have it, and I figured it would be on Dropbox. And then Alan finally chimes in a little bit later, and he's like, I literally just deleted everything from Dropbox this morning. This was yesterday for me, guys. So today is October 9th, so October 8th, yesterday when I put this out or put up, edited this interview, I was pissed off at myself. Just rookie mistakes, and that's what happens sometimes. I know better than that, and it's just a learning process for me again. It's been a long time with so many moving parts. It does suck, and that's one of those things. Thank God fucking Alan and Anton, especially, like, he's like, dude, you can still access deleted information from Dropbox. Something I honestly didn't know, and Alan was able to pull the audio, and I'm like, dude, you guys are a lifesaver. Thank you so much. Like, so huge shout out to them. Find them, subscribe to the 2OC podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. They're legit good guys, and it's just, yeah, thank you guys. You guys kind of saved me, and I get to pull a filler episode next week with content, full content, granted. But, yeah, thank you guys. I always fucking love and listen to you, Kat, so much love. That's about it. If you guys want to ever check out anything, pictures, anything I'm reading, writing, anything I'm up to, not a lot of dope shit, not a lot of crazy shit, but like it, what I'm reading, follow the Comic Syndicate on Facebook and share the podcast, guys. More than anything, share the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast, the Comic Syndicate, in iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, again, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. But share the podcast. Listen to the podcast with someone who I'm not kid-friendly. I've never been kid-friendly. We're explicit for a reason. And I'd rather be myself than bite my tongue. And I'm not that guy to ever do that. I can be respectful and cordial, but I'm not going to kiss your ass either. Like, you know, I'm going to stay true to myself. So that's pretty much all I got on that note. You guys are completely caught up. I have content for next week, but I do have the Los Angeles Comic Con coming up this weekend, and that's going to be extremely interesting with the whole fact that I'm going to wing it. Like, I have a lot of things to do this weekend, and Halloween's coming up, and not at the office we're getting this Halloween theme going, so to keep everything and my life like in order, I have to prepare and literally record fillers at whatever given moment in order to make everything work out in the long run in my life. So again, it's always behind the curtains. You guys are always going to get from me, always honestly behind everything I fucking say, and I stay true to my convictions. And yeah, all right, guys, so you guys are completely caught up with bullet points. Let's rock some comic talk now. Some news. New York Times is bringing back graphic novels to its bestseller list. This is a thing that actually happened, and I thought this was really legit, interesting news. The New York Times announced it will resume publishing best-selling lists of graphic novels and trade paperbacks starting next month, after 2 years of not including them amongst its various bestseller lists. The New York Times Book Review featured announced it will bring back lists including best-selling graphic novels and trade paperback collections. The feature will begin tracking mass market titles listed as quote-unquote graphic novels or graphic books, which will include fiction, nonfiction, children's tales, and manga as part of its monthly feature of best-selling publications nationwide, organized by genre, medium, and target age range. The inclusion of the best-selling graphic books list will return digitally on October 2nd, so it did come out already, and in-print edition on October 20th, so next week. Mass-market paperback novels will also be making a return to the Book Review. This is great news, just the whole fact, not just being a comic book fan, but, like, even if you're writing graphic novels, like, it's still literature, it's still writing, you know, it's still a form of art, it's still a form of expressionism. And that's what I think a lot of people miss about comic books and the comic book genre in general. It's a form of storytelling. And one of the biggest premises about the Comic Syndicate now is, if you guys are new to comics, I'm going to fucking walk you through things. And I'm going to give you guys some small intricacies that you guys normally wouldn't know about, shit like this, and I'm going to introduce you to weird things that you guys might not have ever heard of. All right, Stranger Things officially lands fourth season in massive Duffer Brothers deal. Don't watch that. Here it's dope. Everyone still tells me I need to watch it. I'll get around to it sometime. Inspector Gadget live-action movie ordered by Disney. Is it necessary? The last one with Ferris Bueller kind of sucked. Matthew Broderick, and so, although I didn't see those, so I don't know if it sucked, but is it necessary? Necessary, I guess. Ballerina female-led John Wick spinoff lands director. According to Deadline, the film will follow a young female assassin who seeks revenge against the people who killed her family. Shay Hatton, who penned the script for John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, is writing the script, which was fast-tracked by Lionsgate earlier this year. So I had mentioned it before. John Wick himself, Keanu Reeves, will produce the project. Kind of curious about that. Biggest thing right now, Crisis on Infinite Earths. So the whole show, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Batwoman, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, I believe I said. Arrow, all those shows that I don't watch, the only times I watch them are for the crossover events. Because we get to see some really dope things that we don't really get to see. Especially being a comic book fan with so many crossover characters and Easter eggs for fans is really cool. So Kevin Conroy is going to be playing an older Bruce Wayne. We have a lot of people coming back. Tom Welling, who came out on Smallville. Erica Durant, so you guys probably know this by now, who played Lois Lane. Linda Carter maybe reprise her role as Wonder Woman. So she was Wonder Woman in, the 70s, early 80s, I want to say. So I always loved those, dude. I've not had time to go to the movies. I had some Joker news. It did great. It made $93 million at the box office this past weekend. I still need to find time to watch it. I've heard literally down the middle, both sides of the spectrum, it's really good, it's great, like it's the best thing ever, and I've heard like it's an alright movie. So, I'm very curious. I'm going to go in with an open mind, but yeah, this is some Marvel news. Marvel Disney report, Disney Plus to feature multiple classic Marvel cartoons. So this is just really cool. Disney Plus is going to start, I believe, launch November 13th or 14th next month. So we're still a month out. So that's interesting. Ghost Rider, Hulu drops Supernatural Marvel series. I love Ghost Rider. I'm a huge fan of this Vengeance, Spirits of Vengeance. Just the whole Spirits of Vengeance, Ghost Rider mythology. That's been canceled. Marvel's Disney Plus series will also have feature film budgets, so I kind of said those backwards, but we learned such series would be limited to 6 to 8 episodes, so Winter Soldier and Falcon, and WandaVision. Now it's been confirmed that Marvel, Disney Plus's television shows will have budgets on par with feature films. These guys are under the motto of go hard or go fucking home. Fucking Mickey Mouse. Does it surprise any of us? Sony and Marvel, and I'm late on this one, Sony and Marvel strike deal for third Spider-Man film. He is going to be back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And he's going to play Spider-Man, Tom Holland, for two more movies at least in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it also looks like Sony is going to use him for a few of their movies. And they still want to work on their villain movies. So it was Silver Cat, I think, was one of them. So Silver Sable, nobody knows of. And Black Cat is one of them. They still want to do a Sinister Six movie. And they have the Venom sequel coming out. So just weird things. Here's a rumor: Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker trailer will be arriving soon. The first full-length trailer from Star Wars The Rise of Resistance, Rise of Skywalker, not Resistance, is rumored to drop on Monday, October 21st, next Monday, during halftime of Monday Night Football on ESPN, during the game between the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. The game begins at 8:15 up Eastern Standard Time. Sorry about that, guys. All right, next one's going to be interesting. Todd McFarlane receives Guinness World Record title for Spawn. With the release of Spawn number 301 in just over a week, came out today, the Image Comics series will officially become the longest-running creator-owned superhero comic of all time. This was really huge for Image Comics and creator-owned work in general. I love it, just that people that are creative and can, again, create their own characters and have access in the artistic rights to their own character is really dope. You work for Marvel, you come up with a character, it belongs to fucking Marvel. If you want to have access to the copyrights to your own characters, you go to fucking Image Comics. So, very cool. Oh my gosh, don't want to go into this one. You know what? Let's fucking hit it. Rob Liefeld threatens Marvel with legal action over shady practices. That's it in a nutshell. And besides that, he's on a tirade about Jonathan Hickman and how he hates House of X and Powers of 10 that I've been reviewing consistently back to back to back to back to back to back. If you guys have heard any of my shows about Rob Liefeld before, I don't know if I want him ever on the show. Like, I would want him on a deep dives and rabbit holes and even on a Comic Syndicate and just be like, dude, finally give me your side of the story. Like, I don't like you, dude, because of this reason. And you really think you're a lot better than you give yourself credit for. But let me hear your side of the story. And then at the same time, when he does shit like this, it's like, I'm glad I don't like you. And then, yeah, so he's bitching about shit, but that's Rob Liefeld. So I think I entitled that one hashtag pretentious fuck. I could not give you the episode number off the top of my head. 170 or something like that. No, actually, just kidding. All right, let's see. San Diego, New York Comic Con was this past weekend. A lot of things got announced. So the biggest thing I got out of it was Marvel relaunches the series of 2099. So Spider-Man 2099 is going to be coming out. Doom 2099 is going to come out. There's going to be a Venom 2099 as well. Just really good stories when they came out in about the late 90s. And just good stories. So the fact that they're going to revamp these just for a fan like me, I love. And then this one was just dope news. Marvel relaunches Thor with a new number one. So Jason Aaron just wrapped up. And he's been working on the Thor series, the Mighty Thor, the God of Thunder, those series for the past 7 years for Marvel. Jason Aaron is a great writer. He's completely off of it. He told his seven-year story over that time and was able to tell it beautifully. And I have reviewed those. I mean, I've reviewed a lot of those, especially the death of Thor. Jane Foster is Thor. And they're actually going to use her now in the next Thor, part four, I guess, Love and Thunder. So really cool. And the next person they're going to relaunch it with, though, is one of my favorite writers right now. Donny Cates is going to be the writer, and Nick Klein are going to relaunch that title. So looking forward to what Donny Cates has to bring to the table. All right, time to hit some comic reviews, guys. I know I've been going heavy on Marvel the past probably 3 months, and I wanted to steer clear of that a little bit. I'm going to go IDW today. And it's been something that's been a long time coming. Like, I love every publishing company, and this company happens to put out one of my favorite pop culture things as a kid growing up in the 80s is Transformers. This title came out in March 2007. It's called Transformers Spotlight, Soundwave, number one. Simon Furman's the writer. Mark Marcello Matera is the artist, and Rob Ruffalo is the inker. Starts off, he trusts no one, and no one trusts him. He appears to serve the Decepticon cause, but serves himself first and foremost. Charged with policing the pumps and processors of his fellow Decepticons, he does so with zeal. To him, knowledge is power, and he knows everything there is to know about everyone, except perhaps himself. His name is Soundwave. Then it starts off in Eden, Texas in 1984. The viewpoint is perfect from here. I can see everything, hear everything. Nothing moves without my being aware of it, which is how I like it. After all, knowledge is power. And we see where he is now. So he's on a construction site, and he is the boombox, just blaring music. He's like, nobody even knows I'm here. This is just noise. It's dope. As oddly as he's observing humans and their ways, especially these construction workers, like, learning humans are around him now, somewhat full of themselves. Like, he's seen them, like, they're so full of shit, but also catching how they each, in a weird sense, are weary of their own self-worth. Like, some people are bitching, like, I'm fucking tired of this fucking job. It's back killing my back. And others are hard workers. It's like, you know, fuck it. I need a paycheck so I can fucking feed my family. So the different aspects of it, of their self-worth. And honestly, we all go through that at one point or another, whatever job aspect it might be. As Soundwave now considers how lucky they are now, because although he wants to end the misery for them, like, he, like, doubts it, he has his own job to do. He's like, I really could off you right now if you're bitching that much. And I'm pretty sure we all have people like that in our jobs. As we finally get what these construction workers were looking for or mining for, and it's this Ultra Energon, where the scene now jumps to Megatron, giving Bludgeon a mission now to look into all of Soundwave's findings. I know it sounds odd, right? So Megatron's in charge, and normally his right-hand man is Soundwave, and he's giving Bludgeon, which is a Decepticon not to be trusted, this mission. As Megatron knows, his right-hand man, and he even asked Soundwave, hey, dude, I have a job for you. I need you to look into everything Bludgeon is doing. So it's just Megatron being Megatron and needing that knowledge to not trusting anyone. And we see how shady this crew is. I mean, they're Decepticons, right? Learning about the Regenesis and it's the other side. So, okay. So, the both sides of the same crew, and it goes back now. Soundwave is now catching all of this and witnessing this going on and what his crew has been aiming for. So, Soundwave goes to work and catches what Bludgeon and his crew have been doing. And they head to Earth and take what they need, constantly covering up their plans. So, this new Energon, Bludgeon has access to it, and Megatron has had an idea that's been going on. So now goes back to the construction workers where Soundwave is. And Soundwave is still posted up and waiting. And he thinks, as these facilities head for their assassination, I hand matters over to Ravage. So his tiger, his panther, his black cassette panther. As these pages and panels show him pouncing like full force, like ready to attack. So even the art is really good. For the next page now, we see the rendezvous point of Bludgeon going to this construction site. And we see Shockwave finally arrive, but we see Bludgeon's crew are ready to intercept this Energon that these guys have been collecting, so these construction workers, and how now this Ultra Energon, every time these humans find it, Legend secretly has been intercepting it and stealing it to mine it and to research it. So also sends now his boy Laserbeak to go to work. So the Hawk, Falcon, creature cassette, for reconnaissance, just to watch enough to know what's going on and gather information. Enough information till Soundwave calls Laserbeak back, puts Ravage on the prowl again, and the Regenesis ore is plainly a commodity of great worth in this Energon. Scarce times. All that remains is to decide how best to turn in what I know, as we see his plan. So Soundwave, just watch and observe. And sometimes act out harshly. I don't know. It's kind of weird as you go through this comic. It's a one shot. It's a single issue, guys. As he's now waiting for them now. I let them gain their wits till I announce my presence. Where there becomes this like huge skirmish now. And an offer from Soundwave. Till they reveal their plans to use this Ultra Energon to bring them back, to bring back this twisted, evil Decepticon. I know, evil, even compared to Megatron. Decepticon named Thunderwing. And the huge difference between Megatron. He realized the Primes were full of shit. Like, that's it. So, the whole Primes were always shady dictators. And Megatron knew this was a true thing. So once it looked like he assassinated one of them, he became a martyr. And once he showed Cybertronians, both of their people, the Cybertronians, like the true colors of the Primes, he made himself a martyr without even wanting to become a martyr. He's just like, that guy's shady. This is all the shady shit he's done. And if you can do that to someone, it doesn't make you a hero. That makes you a martyr. And that's what caused the rift between the Cybertronians, people going, or certain going to Autobots, some becoming Decepticons. Like, which cause do you want? Do you still believe in the fake bullshit of the Primes, or the guy that revealed the monstrosities that you motherfuckers have been hiding? So that's a huge fucking thing. I just love it. So anyways, what they propose now is this madness. Like, we're going to bring this Thunderwing back. And it's really close that this creature, this Decepticon, came close to destroying the Cybertronians just in general and life itself. And once again, Soundwave catches this, he's like, someone has to stop them. I have to stop them, as he decides to go to work. And against my better judgment, I find myself oddly determined to do the right thing. For once, it's about the greater good, instead of what's good for me. As he and his boys now are just getting rocked, as one goes down, so he's got a bunch of cassettes, but he's dealing with the Bludgeon and his crew, so full Decepticons. So it's an even fight for the most part, if we're talking numbers. So him and his four cassettes, versus six giant Decepticons. So the numbers are right, but they're tiny cassettes, and they get rocked. It's just really cool. It's a fun title. It's a cool title. As one goes down, the other one is there to pounce back. They're back each other. Even if I beat Iguanus to the punch, I can't take them all, as Soundwave gets blasted. And we see what happens to him. He's like stunted in his other form, not being able to act. So he gets blasted with this gun that causes him to turn back into his boombox form, but not being able to do anything to transform back. So he's fucked. Like, he's gonna play music for them. At least he's gonna die happy, right? So it was just really cool to see that. But because of this thing, him being transformed back to his self like that, he's able to survive because they're jacking each other up, and the power of this Energon causes a huge explosion. And as everyone's trying to escape from the rubble, everyone gets fucked up. But because he's in his form, he gets found years and years later looking like junk, like an old, broken, beat up, busted up boombox from the fucking 80s. rattered and tattered. And then you see him at the end of the comic just next to an Atari controller in a pawn shop. So I don't know. I really enjoyed that one a lot. And yeah, I reviewed or read that one a while back. And it's like, I'm going to keep this on the back burner because it's just a cool, fun, single, one-shot issue that I really enjoyed. That if you guys want more info on that, hit me up and I will definitely shoot that to you. Let's keep it on the IDW kick. I'm not going to go much longer, but I'm going to review one more comic from IDW. This one came out a few weeks ago. This is Transformers Galaxy, number one. Galaxies, number one. Tyler Blazinski is the writer, and I've interviewed Livio Romandelli before. He's a really dope cat. I love his art and the way he draws Decepticons. Just Transformers in general is beautiful. Constructicons Rising. Page one, panel, starts off with a beautiful, shining citadel or structure in the background. And the narrative is Malix, Energon, processing planetoid, construction in progress. As the next panel, we finally get some dialogue. Look at it, Hook. It's always the brightest this time of day. Yeah, hard to believe it still shines so brightly, even this far away. And where these cats are at, and the way the conversation starts off, the way the panel pages break down, it looks like they're looking at this citadel. And it's just really cool. It's hard to believe it still shines so brightly, even this far away. We can see it so clearly. That little glowing ball of metal. Cybertron. No Hook. Home. As they are both looking up at their home world, their planet. Cybertron. I miss it so much. And Hook says, It's a magnificent jewel, Scrapper. Because of us. We're so close to completion here. Just one more structure, and we can blow this wasteoid. And then, none of us are going home if we can't get this built. So the rest of the Constructicons come into play little by little. As we see the rest of the crew now. Just beat the fuck up. Tired. They're Constructicons. What they do is fucking work. They're beat up. They're tired. They're all dirty. They're dinged up. They're dented up. They got nothing but dirt and mud all over them. But not in a battle sense. In this dope, oddly blue collar way. Which I really love. I'm just going to stop it right there because that's what I really want to give across. The way these Transformers titles have been written for so long is very humanizing. Like, you see these characters in a different light. These are Decepticons. These guys are bad guys. This is the first origin story of the Constructicons. So we see this blue-collar aspect, which I'm the guy who loves blue-collar. Like, give me people that know how to work, and I'll respect the fuck out of you. Give me lazy, and I don't want to deal with you. As they're now legit. And legit have been working. Just dirty, banged up physical labor work. And do you guys know it? One last hard, dirty job. Not even wet works. Like, I'm going to dissect this guy. I'm going to assassinate this guy. But just dirty, hard work. Gritty work. I love it. Just so they can finally get home. As Hook and Scrapper, knowing this, reminisce one more time. And we see Cybertron. Then. After. The war against the Fold, the Threefold Spark. The rules of Icon, as this great Autobot conversation goes down now. Termagax is the name of one of the characters. Status report, Wheeljack. Wheeljack, shifts have been organized by occupation. Miners and engineers are doing the brunt of the cleanup, though. Termagax says, there's nothing but rubble left. How are we ever going to rebuild this city, much less the whole planet? So again, after this giant war, these two characters are like, okay, everything's fucked up. How are we going to rebuild it? Termagax says, we can rebuild however we want. I am of the mind that for every challenge, a solution will arise. Something to help us ascend us to the next level of Cybertronian society. There's more dialogue we get from Termagax. For example, these bots are freshly forged, and already they wish to leave their mentors and commit themselves wholly to rebuilding. As we see this beautiful page in their Constructicon forms, like just their trucks and their literally hooks and their fucking construction fucking forms, trucks and dirt fucking, I don't know why I don't know the name of any of these things, hooks and everything they need to just create. Okay, hold on. Fuck me, sand blasters, cement mixers, stuff like that. But it's a beautiful page, though, as they come in, and there's a beautiful scene of the sunset towards their backs as they're riding along to meet these two characters. I really enjoyed this, so just give me some time, guys. As we see the Constructicons, just in this beautiful page, and Turgax makes the introductions. This is Bone Crusher, Mixmaster, Long Haul, Scavenger, Hook, and Scrapper, where we get the most in-depth aspect and look at each of their personalities now and expertise, which is really dope. It's really smartly broken down, and the way Livio gave each of these characters their own personalities is really dope, and their expertise. I do this and I do that, and these guys can't do shit without me. Like, each of them has their own personalities. It's like, look at it this way. Is anyone that's ever played a sport before, anyone that's ever been in dancing, in a club, the team fucking aspect, the camaraderie, the band of brothers, the band of sisters, the family, the unit, the band of fucking brothers, the people you go to work with, the people you work with, the people that will fight for you, the people that you know you can fucking trust in a fucking bind to get through work. Like, these cats, these six characters have it, and they bust each other's balls, because how can they not? They're fucking boys. So I really love the fuck out of it, and you really got to look at it from that aspect too. And you get their personalities, and I think that's why you guys would dig on this. And I gather, I melt. I diagram just each of them so different to get that whole, you know what, this is a fucking crew. Like, they each specialize in their own thing, and they know it. And this is a fucking team. And this is the band of brothers. And, you know, it makes me feel like my wrestling days, you know, everything. A chess club, like whatever you guys have or ever were a part of, hopefully you guys have. And you guys know that feeling. As these boys just want to play in their sandbox right now and go to work, even now questioning authority. Just like, let me do my fucking job. So they show up to the job, and once they're on the job, Turgax is like, Will Jack says something stupid like, I really don't think we should be doing that. And it's like, hey, motherfucker, I'm a Constructicon. What do? You look at numbers, right? You're a statistician? All right, so do me a huge favor and suck my fucking metal cock, because I'm here to do my job. Let me do my fucking job. Don't tell me how to do my job. And that's essentially what it is. And they question the authority. You hired me for a reason. As we then get this odd, yet completely civil conversation between Termagax now and Wheeljack, and their different methodologies on how to build again, where it jumps back now to Hook. It was all Wheeljack's fault, wasn't it? As again, it jumps back now to the scene present. Scrapper said it was his decision to have a start at the Rivets Field. That changed everything. As it jumps back now to what happened and this team working and finding and discovering something new that freaks them all out and throws them all off. So they're all together, and it's like, what the fuck did you find? And they all gather around it. And I'm like, what is this jewel? What is this crystal? And I'm like, this has to be the enigma of combination, connecting them all more so now, where they all know it. The closer they are to it, they all know it. They feel it. And Turgax says, no one understands it. What I do know is that it creates a source of code, allowing Cybertronians to join together as one consciousness, so long as they share a purpose. And as soon as they get around it, they are more in each other's heads than they've ever been. I know it sounds odd, but again, it's your band of brothers. So, it seems you, the Constructicons, have tapped into its power. And Scrapper asks, what power is that? Termagax answers, imagine combining your minds and bodies into one form. You would be able to build faster, reach higher, lift more. Do all that you do separately, together. In essence, you'd be the ultimate building tool. Oh my gosh, if I had that access, dude, I'd build fucking clones of myself. Scrapper says, sorry, it was a joke, guys. Scrapper says, Termagax says, this decision will revolutionize everything. And apparently, Termagax is a female, huh? Cybertronic. She thinks we'd become stronger than we can imagine. But the choice is ultimately ours. Scrapper is pretty much the leader of the crew. The boys and I will need to talk about this as a panel pops up, with the crew already knowing and having this sort of hive mind now. Each fighting it, but curious as what they can do together. Each of their personalities is dope to see, though, as they all ask each other, like they can read each other's minds, like, are we going to do this? It's like, it sounds really fun. And others are like, you know, it does sound dope, but I really don't like being in your guys' fucking head this much. And there's one, I believe it's Mixmaster, who says, like, I don't think this is the right thing for us to be doing. But if you guys are all in for it, I'm going to co-sign your bullshit, because, yeah, I'm the odd man out, so I'd rather be with you. It's really weird, again, to see all their personalities and how each of them feel about being this hive mind and even becoming this Constructicon now. Devastator is pretty much what he is. Each finding but curious as they know what they can do together. Okay, so all their personalities conflict, but they finally come to agreement. Let's test this theory. As it now jumps back and forth. What they have now, and what they had then, and what they're still able to do now. But even back then, becoming these Constructicons, becoming Devastator, what they had to learn back then as a unit. So we get to see a really huge glimpse on how they started, again, their origin, as a team, working together to get work done properly. We legit see them taking baby steps now, totally fighting and struggling this, but they're a giant hive mind now, and they have to, as a group, needs to share one mind, and they don't know or understand how to cope with it. So it's really great to see that aspect too, and how much it takes a toll on each of them, as Termagax tells them a story of the first combiner that wasn't cohesive, just as they all feel now. A different conscious than them just not being or feeling or acting like themselves is a great story. It's like we see their struggle behind it. Like they're not comfortable with it. And then it just the whole reminiscing, them reminiscing on what they were able to do and create before they got banished on this planet now. Alright, well, we're going to take this Enigma combination from you guys, because fuck you guys. You guys can build shit. We're going to send you off-world, off-planet, for you. We need you guys to construct some things, but you guys can't have the power anymore. Like, they're living off of rations now of Energon, and they're barely able to do anything or survive. And how they got cut off, and how they got sent off, exiled, just to work, just to build, just to create. But not as a combiner now, but as a crew, like they originally started from. Just hard, just set to hard labor now. And how do you guys feel about this? Like a slave to the system we call work, and how is that for humanizing? Like we get these character breakdowns, and I know these characters, and a lot of you guys don't know these characters, but fuck me. Look up Livio Romandelli, pull up any Transformer, pull up Megatron, pull up Optimus Prime, pull up Hot Rod, pull up Soundwave, Shockwave, pull up these characters, pull up Bludgeon. Like, to have humanization in comics, I love the fuck out of, and I love the fuck out of this one. It was worth talking about. It's IDW. This one was Transformers Galaxies number one, literally dropped last 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and I'm going to review these as I come along them. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. This one went a little bit long. I had a lot to talk about. I'm going to take next week off for my birthday. Hope you guys don't mind. And it's don't give send me anything. Don't do anything special for me. I just don't like celebrating my birthday. So I kind of would like to just hold myself up somewhere. But yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find a podcast. I'm Josiah Sapp, Forward the Villain on Twitter @comic_syndicate on Instagram. And we'll catch you guys in 2 weeks. Peace out.